Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hello.
Hub Arkish.
His expertise in football is second to none.
670 The Score's senior football expert.
You're talking to one of the great techno boobs of all time.
Executive editor of Pro Football Weekly.
Hey, Hub, I got a pretty simple question for you. Is Leonard Fournette still an elite NFL running back?
You know, Rob, he never was.
Shaw media analyst and sideline reporter for Westwood One.
We've got Joe calling in from Elgin.
I just want to say that you are so underrated. You're fantastic. You really are. You've got a great opinion. I would listen to you all day.
Breaking down the latest on the Bears and news from around the NFL.
When will the Bears give Allen Robinson his contract extension?
It's a puzzle to me. I don't understand why it hasn't happened yet.
Hub Arkish.
I'd love to poke you. I'm not going to now.
With Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi on 670 The Score. The Score.
Time for Hub Arkish. I want to give you a little bit of a breaking news here, just a headline before we get to Hub. There's been a letter that has been sent to Rob Manfred, MLB commissioner, and it's on the letterhead of the Cactus League. It's written by Bridget Bernsbacher, the executive director of the Cactus League, but it's co-signed by the mayors and or city managers of Phoenix, Mesa, Scottsdale, Tempe, Surprise, Glendale, Goodyear, and Peoria, as well as the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian Community president. And they are asking for a delay to start the season due to COVID in Maricopa County and these other areas because of the current state of the pandemic. They believe that spring training should be delayed. So we'll give you the latest on that as we know more, but just a little bit of news. Hub Arkish is on Twitter at @Hub_Arkish. He's on the Alpamonte Nissan hotline, Alpamonte Nissan on North Avenue in Melrose Park, or at apnissan.com. You should check out the Twitch stream as well. If you want to get a look at everything that's going on, you can always go to twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. Hub, how are you?
I am good. How are you guys doing?
Good. What do you make of this Super Bowl?
You know, I think it'll be interesting, compelling. Everything about it, like everything else in the world, is so different right now that, you know, I'm trying to kind of get used to the idea, get ready for it. But as far as the matchup, it's interesting. I think that the Bucs do not match up as well with the Chiefs as they do with the Packers. And the Chiefs, you know, probably don't match up as well against the Bucs as they did with the Bills. So this one's going to need a little homework before we're really sure where to go.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time dissecting that NFC Championship game, but AFC Championship game, well, Patrick Mahomes showed no signs of being bothered by either a toe or a head injury. What were your takeaways just from that game and how well the Chiefs were able to move the ball, especially in that second quarter, too? They looked like there was nothing stopping them in that game.
Yeah, Layla, I think the Bills were in over their heads is the bottom line. I mean, it's disappointing because it took all season to warm to them. You know, they were playing the best team football. They were playing the best complementary football. And I kept looking at the depth chart and asking myself, how are they doing this? And they were just extremely well coached and well prepared. But when you look at these four teams, the Bills jump out as the one of the four that just didn't have the playmakers that the other three did. And you know, when they got in with the Chiefs, you know, the first drive, it looked good. But as soon as it became obvious that those soft zones were not going to work this time, you know, and that they were going to throw into them as well as running into them, the Bills just didn't have the horses to stay even with them.
any lessons to be drawn from others around the NFL? Because it's my belief that when we used to do this and we used to look at unique systems and deployments and alignments and arrangements, the football hub now between college and pro has been so cross-pollinated. More than ever, it's just about having the right guys. It's not what you're doing, it's who's doing it. So I don't do the usual game of, boy, what can be aped to bring the same kind of success elsewhere.
Well, I think that's also true, Dan, but I would add, you don't win playoff games and championships without defenses. You know, and this whole idea that it's all about the offense and it's all about the quarterback and it's all about how many passes you can throw and how many points you can put up. The Bucs are in the Super Bowl because of their defense, not because of Tom Brady. As great a story as Tom Brady is, and yes, the play at the end of the first half was huge, but Brady did everything he could to give that game away in the second half. And the sudden change defense that the Bucs played on those last two interceptions, and the Packers kept Rodgers in the game, quite frankly, a couple plays that they made in the second half. So I just think you want to be the best balanced football team. And what interests me about that is that right now the Bucs are probably the better balanced of the two between them and the Chiefs. I just don't know if anybody, or if the Bucs defense is even good enough to slow down the Chiefs offense.
Especially the way Patrick Mahomes was just evading pressure. That pocket wasn't always clean yesterday. And it just seemed like if there was pressure on him, he would just move ever so slightly. The body awareness so good to be able to create a play by the time he needed to make the pass, just whatever he needed. It's going to be really, really fun to watch to see how those two units match up, the Chiefs, and then whatever pass rush package that they are going to bring from Todd Bowles' unit.
You know, Leila, it's funny because as you're saying that, I'm thinking about, okay, got to take a little shot at the Bears here, but I have a shot and a compliment. You're right, exactly right about what you just said. And one of the reasons is if you count Duvernay Tardif, there was only one starting offensive lineman playing for the Chiefs yesterday. And that's, one of the reasons that they had to adapt and the way the pocket moved. So all the problems that the Bears may or may not have had on the offensive line, when that scheme is working, and in this case, when you've got Mahomes running it, that's fine. But since you didn't have Mahomes or anything resembling him, it's obvious they should have gotten away from it a lot sooner. Now, the flip side of this, which is not to the question you asked, but which I think is important for Bears fans, is, guys, you can be haters and naysayers all you want, but the Bears beat the NFC champs. And yep. it wasn't lucky. That night, the Bears were a slightly better football team. The Bears should have beat the Saints. The Bears should have beaten the Vikings in that first game. They could have beat the Titans. Again, I'm not defending anything they did. They've got work to do. But this idea that fire everybody, blow the whole thing up, mortgage the rest of your life to get Deshaun Watson, that is not the best place to take this football team right now. You got to give it one more year now and see if you can be smart during the offseason and get back to where, because the difference between, the Bears and these other teams right now, it's significant, but it's not unfixable in one season.
When you mentioned that Chiefs offensive line, I want to make sure we shout out our guy, friend of the show, Nick Allegretti, who was thrust into a starting role there. And he was on the team last year, stuck around despite being drafted near the very, very end of the draft. But the former Illinois center and someone who's worked closely with Olin Krutz, looks like he's playing his way into a very solid NFL position right now.
Yeah, he's a really good football player, Dan, and I don't think I've mentioned this on the air, but his dad Carl and I are good friends. Carl served as the chairman of the board of directors of Illinois Special Olympics during one of my terms when I was serving on the board, and we stayed friendly, and I kind of followed from a distance, Nick's career through Illinois, he's a fine athlete. He was an outstanding wrestler, but you talk about what perseverance and hard work will do. That's who Nick Allegretti is. This kid just worked his way into being a starting NFL guard, and he's going to be one for some time to come, and he's playing on the best team in the NFL.
We talked to Sam Acho earlier in the show, Hub, and when he discussed the promotion of Sean Desai and how his philosophy could return this defense to a semblance of Vic Fangio's vision. It left us with a pretty stunning rebuke of Chuck Pagano. And when he talked about Eddie Jackson's issues and talked about some of the production issues elsewhere, he didn't call out Pagano by name, but he made it very clear that by getting away from Vic Fangio, it was not a seamless difference. He really was missed, and he thinks it's important that this defense get back to doing the things that Fangio saw that it could do. Do you agree?
Not totally, no. You know, but we'll see what happens. Obviously, they were better under Fangio than they were under Chuck. But there are, you know, there's always additional factors beyond just the coaching change. I think if they can play the way they did under Fangio, then yeah, then I agree. Then I'm great with it. But the flip side of that is that you put Sean Desai's resume next to Chuck Pagano's resume, and you know, game over. And as a matter of fact, I wrote, I think it's in today's papers, my column on the Desai hiring, is, you know, he's an impressive young man. He's a guy you really want to see do well. You know, he's got a PhD. I have no doubt that he's as brilliant as Sam Acho and other people say that he is. But he's also got a total of 6 years as a defensive quality control guy and 2 years as a safeties coach. That's his NFL experience. And that just doesn't scream defensive coordinator to me when I look at the other candidates who were available. And so, you know, this is another, it's a risk. It's a risk you take. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And if you find the next Brandon Staley, you know, the next pick a guy, Matt LaFleur, the next Sean McVay, that's fine. But for every one of those guys, there's another youngster who was given a heavy coaching responsibility who wasn't up to the task. So I think it's about more than scheme. It's about coaching ability. It's about coaching experience. And it's about how where these players are going to go and how they're going to follow him once they get into some tough times.
They also have positions to now fill potentially on that defensive side of the football, at least one, if not two. What do you see happening as far as the Bears trying to fill those spots anytime soon?
Well, Layla, if I could real quick, I'll definitely answer that. But before I even get to that, more importantly, they've got other coaching spots to fill now. And mm-hmm. you know, you certainly don't fault Dave Ragone for taking an offensive coordinator job. But you certainly question why, when the job was open last year, you go and find Bill Lazor, who's been out of the game for a year and, yes, had some experience, but not impressive experience. And then you've got Jay Rogers and Charles London leaving, apparently to make lateral moves, you know. And so to me, that's basically what my column is about today. It's not just about Sean Desai. It starts to raise some questions. You know, are the Bears building the best coaching staff they can, or is Matt Nagy determined to surround himself with people he's comfortable with who all buy into the system that he wants them to buy into? And so I think that is probably the biggest question on the table for the Bears right now before we even get to personnel. As far as the spots that you're talking about, you know, their first three safeties, Tayshaun Gibson, Deion Bush, DeAndre Houston Carson, are all free agents this year. So, you know, I'd love to see him re-sign Gibson on a 1 or 2 year deal if they can, because I thought he played really well. But I don't, you know, he's going to be 32 next year. I would think that might be a possibility. Eddie Goldman, you hope, comes back and is rested and continues to develop. And Bilal Nichols is going forward. So you should be in good shape up front, although your depth there, you got Brent Urban and Mario Edwards and Roy Robertson Harris are all free agents. And then you got Barkevious Mingo, who I thought gave him really good minutes as a free agent. So, you know, the only starting spot that you really worry about is that safety spot. They should be actually in a little better shape up front with Goldman, but they've got to re-sign a couple of these people or get their equals if they're not going to take a step backwards.
Another thing Acho brought up was the redundancy in the number of positional coaches. The fact that they have an outside linebackers coach and an inside linebackers coach. He said you don't need a cornerback coach and a safeties coach. All you need is a defensive backs coach. So there has been a mission creep here where they've just created and continuing to individualize every position within the position. And I wonder at some point if he's right, if we shouldn't go back the other direction and give some coaches a little more responsibility rather than less.
I don't have an opinion, to be honest with you, because that's not unique to the Bears. That's fairly consistent around the NFL, and it's, you know, these coaching staffs, they used to be 11, 12, 13. They're all 15, 16, 17 now. It's the way that the league has evolved. I've wondered about it, to be honest with you. I know that in one area, the Bears, they had to be too many voices in Mitch Trubisky's and Nick Foles' heads. I mean, to have mm-hmm. Matt Nagy, Bill Lazor, John DeFilippo, Dave Ragone, you know, at some point enough is enough.
Henry Burris, so too, right?
I'm not sure what Henry was doing, but yes, I mean, we think he was focusing on the quarterbacks. That to me was absolutely too much, and I agree with Sam, it's just too much noise. But then, you know, there are differences between playing safety and corner, obviously, or inside or outside linebacker. I'm not disagreeing with him. I'm not saying you need all those coaches. But I'm just pointing out that it's certainly not unique to Matt Nagy's staff or the Bears.
Well, and just to add to your point, Hub, about the lateral moves, Charles Lindon, I don't think is going to be an easy replacement to find, because he really showed out this season as far as David Montgomery and the running backs, putting them in good positions to succeed, especially after the loss of Tariq Cohen.
Well, I mean, yeah, and I think in Charles' case, I at least understand he's going to be the quarterback's coach in Atlanta as opposed to running backs, and that is a new area for him, and that expands mm-hmm. his resume, so at least there's that. But we don't even know why Jay Rodgers is leaving, at least not yet. It doesn't look like he's going to get the coordinator job. You know, I think he did do a really good job with David Montgomery. There's good coaches out there. I've already heard Deuce Staley's name, who is a well-thought-of coach and probably could take over the running backs. I don't know if that's
sounds like he's going to Detroit is the latest. He's going to join Dan Campbell.
Okay, yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. There's names flying everywhere. And the problem here that the Bears have is I don't know. I find it hard to believe that they had no idea that Pagano was considering retirement. Or let's go the other way with the conspiracy theorists, which I don't buy, which is that they convinced him to retire. Either way, they should have been a little better prepared than they were. Because, you know, even though a lot of these staffs are still only half full, all of the open head coaching job staffs have started to fill before the Bears staff. And so every one of these jobs that you look at, you know, it's possible that the first, second, third, fourth choices are gone. So that should be a valid concern.
We're going to talk quarterbacking when we come back. Aaron Rodgers just threw things into a bit of a tizzy with some of the words that he used and sort of the whole emo production that he put on yesterday. There's Matt Stafford's name. There's the saga of Deshaun Watson, where he may be going nowhere. He may be going somewhere. There will be other names added to this. So we're going to spin the wheel of quarterbacks with Hub Arkish next on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
There's a lot of unknowns going into this offseason now. And I'm going to have to take some time away for sure and clear my head and just kind of see what's going on with everything. But it's pretty tough right now, especially thinking about the guys that may or may not be here next year. There's always change. That's the only constant in this business. It's really tough to get to this point. Really, really tough, especially with it only being one bye week in the playoffs. It's a grind just to get to this point, and that makes the finality of it all kind of hit you like a ton of bricks. That's why it's a gutting feeling in your stomach.
Boy, imagine how it feels to quarterback the Bears then. Yikes. That's a very unhappy Aaron Rodgers, who all of a sudden cast his future into doubt and decided to do so yesterday. I don't know if that was just sort of him feeling down and emoting a little bit, or if now he's going to orchestrate his departure, because all these questions are being asked. Hub Arkish is with us on this Championship Monday here on Bernstein and Rahimi. So, Hub, before we actually spin the wheel, is this real? I mean, could Aaron Rodgers want to leave? And if so, where would he see his greener pastures than that?
Yeah, Tampa Bay. You know, I mean, Listen, first of all, no, I don't think it's real. You have to, you know, the context is everything. Heat of the moment, terribly disappointing loss. And so, you know, you got to be careful, you know, how seriously you take this stuff. I thought that Matt LaFleur's comments were a lot more interesting because he was pretty adamant. And if in fact Gutekunst and the organization wants to go elsewhere, there's no walking that one back between, you know, them and their young head coach, who is now, 26-6, you know. So I think it's heat of the moment stuff. You look at the contract. If they were to move him, you know, this year, they'd have $31.5 million in dead cap money. It just, there's nothing about it that makes sense on either side. You know, like, as you say, where is Rodgers going to go that he's going to be better off? I mean, there certainly are teams with better defenses. There are teams with more weapons on offense. I don't know about better weapons on offense. You've got his unique place there in Green Bay. I don't think he finishes his career there, to be honest with you. I think that could end more like Brett Favre's career ended, but they're not there yet. Remember, you know, he sat on the bench for almost 3 years, you know, behind Brett Favre, because like him, Favre was still playing, you know, at his peak. And so I can't imagine, how could the Packers organization think they'd be better off moving him? You know, I mean, they're a 500 football team without Aaron Rodgers. And so I just wouldn't read too much into any of this.
It might still be a 500 team without him, but I hate to say it, they'd still probably be the NFC North favorites at this rate. But I digress. Hub, what did you think of that fourth quarter, the last set of downs in the goal-to-go situation the Packers had in that game? We talked about it a lot earlier, but you sat through enough Bears games this season and took enough calls. I want to hear what you have to say about this one.
I didn't understand what LaFleur was doing. You know, it made no sense because the field goal didn't help is the point. If the field goal helps, okay. You know, if you can get it to a three-point game, that's fine. But all the field goal means is now you don't need a two-point conversion if you get an onside kick and you score a touchdown. You're down there. You know, this is your best chance to score a touchdown. And then you go for two. And if you don't get two, you're in the exact same spot you were after the right. field goal anyway, except now a field goal wins the game for you. You don't have to go down and score a touchdown. So it just made no sense. I wonder how much Rodgers' decision not to run with the ball on third down had to do with it, because I don't think he does get to the end zone, but no. I suspect he gets down to the two or the three. And so that's a different situation than where LaFleur decided to kick. But it just, you know, we can debate this and argue it till the cows come home. I don't think there's any excuse for it.
Are the Bears in play for any of the available big name quarterbacks, any of them? I know you say that Deshaun Watson is not going anywhere, but Matthew Stafford is. And I keep thinking that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy have played their way into one more year. They know they have to win. And they may not think that Nick Foles is going to be the guy to do it. I think somebody other than Nick Foles is likely to be the Bears' starting quarterback when we get started next year. I have no idea who it's going to be or how it's going to be.
Well, if the Bears are not in the Matt Stafford Derby, they certainly should be, you know, because he comes with a team-friendly contract for a few years. He is just that slightest of notches below elite quarterback, and it's not because of his performance, it's because of his team's performance. There's nothing I know of him to suggest that with the right players around him, he wouldn't be an elite quarterback. You know, that organization has been a disaster for the entire time he's been there. The problem is that my guess would be that the Lions are going to exhaust all options to trade him first to the AFC, and if not to the AFC, at least out of the division before they're going to think about trading him to the Bears. So I think that they certainly should be in it. And you know, because he is not, he's probably going to get him a number one, but that's about it, you know, as opposed to, I mean, can you imagine what it would take to get Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson in a trade? And probably more for Watson, but not that much more, because in Rodgers, you're getting a first ballot lockdown Hall of Famer with some hope that he can be your franchise guy for, you know, 2-3 more years based on the way he played today. Stafford, I'm guessing maybe they get a 1 and a 3, you know, something like that. And from where the Bears are at right now, the situation that they are in, that to me would be a wise move. But I just don't know that the Lions are going to be anxious to make that deal.
just a 1-3 you think gets Matt Stafford?
He's 33 years old with back surgery, you know, Layla. And as someone who's had three back surgeries, I can tell you, it never gets better. You know, once the back goes, the best you can hope for is repair work to put the pain aside and stop the deterioration. But you cannot ignore, I have to believe it's one of the reasons the Lions are dealing him. Not that he's not necessarily healthy. He'd have to pass a physical. But even though he's only 33, those back issues are going to be a big red flag to a lot of teams before they mortgage their future.
I was mentioning earlier in the show, Hub, just how unique a position quarterback is in all of sports. And unlike a pitching staff, when you could have another guy work his way in and get the same chances that that first starter gets, that we've had the last 15 years ruled by like this quarterbacking oligarchy of all of this group of Hall of Famers and near Hall of Famers that you mentioned, and say them in any order that you want, whether it's, you know, Brady and Breeze and Roethlisberger and Rivers and the Mannings, and I mean, it's just on and on and on, and it's just so hard to break through and begin to develop this next generation of quarterbacks. Just how long the hegemon is for these groups that get the contracts and get the commitments and end up being the foundations of franchises. It's not an easy thing to move on to what's next.
It's true, Dan. It's absolutely true what you say, but I don't think it's new. I mean, if you think about it, this oligarchy followed the last oligarchy, which was Elway and Marino and Kelly and Montana, you know, and each generation, or at least the last couple generations, have had them. Yeah, actually the generation before that had Fouts and Stabler, you know, and all those people. So it's consistent with the game. It's just a question of, you know, which teams figure it out. In some cases, which teams are lucky enough to get the right guy. In other cases, like the Packers, who've now had him back-to-back, there's got to be something to that. Which teams are really good at getting the right guy? That's why Jordan Love fascinates me. I mean, I didn't even think he was a first-round pick, to be honest with you. But the fact that the Packers took him, you know. Now, Gutekunst is not, you know, he gets no credit for Rodgers or Favre, so doesn't make it a great pick. But it does make him intriguing because they sure got it right when they were looking to follow Favre.
Well, and they sent a message. We all picked up on it whenever they did draft Jordan Love, just like when the Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts. That's what I get for reading baseball news right now, Hub. The Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts. That took everybody by surprise. And if you even want to go back a little more recently, you also have Jimmy Garoppolo, who at one point was considered the quarterback waiting in the wings, too. Those are three names where I'm very interested to see how all of them turn out coming up.
Yeah, I don't understand why everybody is assuming the 49ers are just done with Jimmy Garoppolo, or what Jimmy Garoppolo did besides get hurt a couple times to be considered done. You know, I mean, he was certainly disappointing in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, and I don't know that he's a franchise quarterback, but I don't see where the trauma or the series of incidents were that all of a sudden he's done. You know, so I think, Dan, as we look at this, that you know, obviously Patrick Mahomes heads the next group. There is still a very good chance that it seems likely that Deshaun Watson will be part of that group. I know it's only been 1 year. Love what I've seen of Justin Herbert. I think in spite of yesterday, Josh Allen off the season he had this year, I think the group is starting to form. I don't think Lamar Jackson's ever going to get there because he's just not a good enough passer.
Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray, Tua.
Yeah, I don't see Murray or Tua, but I think you can put Burrow in there. Again, the point is, I think, Dan, it is a fascinating conversation. I think you're absolutely right, but my only addition is that it does happen every generation, and now we're just starting to see who the next group is. And, you know, Trevor Lawrence. I mean, who knows what you've got there? You know, he certainly comes with those credentials. So how do the Bears get one of those guys? Let's look at this group. You know, Aaron Rodgers was what, 22 or 23? You know, nobody saw that coming. And you guys know the story of second round Breeze, Brady sixth round. So it's not like you got to have a top five pick to do it. And we'll see what their next attempt is.
I always say that my advice is if you want to pick the Super Bowl, it's the moment you know who the competitors are, obviously save for any changes to health or availability, but the moment you know, go with your gut. And I do not generally pick games. I just can't envision Patrick Mahomes losing. I really can't. The guy, no matter what is stacked up against him, no matter who drops what passes or what happens on somebody muffing a punt, he's just better than everybody right now. And it sounds simplistic because I know this isn't basketball, but that's how it seems. Like, usually the basketball team with the best player wins, and I think it applies to this football game.
You know, I think it's probably a good way to go, Dan. The problem, my gut all week screamed at me Bucks and Bills, and I really thought it was going to be, I mean, my head was telling me Packers and Chiefs, but my gut was screaming Bucks and Bills, but I could not go against Rodgers and Mahomes. And so on our TV show where I made the picks, I ended up taking the Packers and the Chiefs, and then tried to middle it and took the Bucks to cover the 3 points, the Bills to cover the 3 point spread. So obviously I had the wrong upset. But my problem with this, my gut's not telling me anything. I mean, I don't have a feel for this game yet based on the way these two teams come to this game. I would argue that one thing that history has taught us is you want the team on a roll, the team with momentum, the hot team. And to me, that's more the Bucks than the Chiefs right now. And I do, you got to love Brady. He certainly has. By the way, Mike Evans almost cost him the game yesterday. And, and that's his franchise receiver. So we didn't see the best of the Bucks. And that's something else that you got to, the number of drop passes, you got to take that into consideration. But I kind of keep coming back to what you just said. I can give you 10 arguments for the Bucks, but I don't see how Mahomes loses. That's what I'm struggling with right now.
Hub, we look forward to talking with you once again on Wednesday. My guess is we're going to have plenty of Bears news by then with a bunch of new coaches and all sorts of stuff. So we'll look forward to that.
All righty, guys. Have a good day.
That is Hub Arkish, our football expert. When we come back, now I have not heard this, and I am promised that this is just glorious. It was some storytelling from Stacey King as he and Adam Amin were doing their little pregame hit on the pregame show with NBC Sports Chicago. Has to do with a being starstruck courtside, and I guess Stacey was just wonderful. So I've been promised that this is really, really good and worth sticking around for. So do. It's next on The Score.
Stacey, have you ever been starstruck on an NBA floor before?
Oh, man. Yeah, I have. I got a chance to see Halle Berry at a game one time.
I'm out.
I got a Jasmine Guy. I got a chance to see Jasmine Guy.
Oh, no.
When she was hot, when she was doing the the Cosby Show and then Different World. I was a little starstruck. But you know what? I was smooth and debonair though. I was trying to get numbers.
We'll prove it later too. Yeah. With just be ready for a very tight Stacey King flat top.
You know the hot top. The hot top fade was in play, bro. So
yeah,
I was trying to.
It was a strong
listen,
fade.
I was Star Trek for about a couple of seconds, but I'm going to try to get numbers.
There you go. Hey, numbers on and off the court, ladies
exactly.
and gentlemen. Stacey right, King getting numbers.
Good stuff. He was clearly questioning whether or not he was going to tell a story, but sure, go ahead, have fun with it.
Oh, that's the best part was he was like, hey, man, my wife is my number one, but this did happen.
I think she'll give you a little latitude for Halle Berry or Jasmine Guy.
It was just very like room 112 where the players dwell type of situation. Like, hey, man, I played in the NBA. Like, what do you think I'm going to do? Shooters shoot. Shooters shoot. It was just so good. So genuine.
Well, it also gets back to the conversation we were having during the midday midway about that viral tweet about the best someone has ever looked on screen before, the best a human being has ever looked on screen. One of the most offered shots was the famous orange bikini shot of Halle Berry. Was it Die Another Day where she's...
It was definitely a Bond movie.
Yeah, where she's
Brosnan.
walking out of the water in that bikini, which is a look that she recently, like a couple of weeks ago or something, posted a picture at 53 or 54, which is just ridiculously unfair to not have essentially aged a day. But yeah, that was one of the nominees. So if it was around that time, it was obviously well before then, but it's understandable to say the least.
That's like a hero shot to me. I keep using that word. The best example for the hero shot is, of course, after the game when you see the winning quarterback from a low angle and the confetti's flying down and it's the victory pose. But you also have like the hero shot, I think, in film too, where it's like, this is the memorable moment here. And they did that with Halle Berry. And Jasmine Guy, to me, I always thought she was so pretty. In a different world, especially. But Stacey, just the look on his face was so good, too. It was just like, I'm guilty, but I still have game.
Well, isn't Jasmine Guy's also one of these, like, triple threats, too? Can't she also really sing and really dance? And like his, you know, some of these the Broadway performers where somebody will just sort of work their way into your world in some show somewhere, and then the next thing you turn around you see this, like J.K. Simmons, right? Who is, you know, he's the Nazi on Oz, but it turns out that he's just like an old-fashioned song and dance man, and you don't know it until later. That so many of these people who find their way to fame are incredibly multi-talented in ways you wouldn't have otherwise known.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And to go a little bit of the opposite, I always loved like the misfits from The Office. You'll hear me refer to them a lot because I feel seen. But just some of the most wicked talented actors, like improv actors and guys of that nature and women, ended up on The Office, too. And they are wildly successful in New York at shows and things of that nature. But then ended up getting some major publicity on The Office and shows like that, too.
Yeah, it's like you always find out that somebody is just way more accomplished, like how long it actually takes, what you actually have to do to succeed, and the number of things that you're supposed to be good at. Where if you look at like the actor who plays Flo from Progressive was also a really accomplished comic actor. It was like the Groundlings or whatever. And the same goes for Jan from Toyota. Was also, I think, a groundling, or they worked with each other. They did improv and sketch comedy and all of this stuff. So even though you may know, it's or what's her name, Lily from AT&T. You don't just sort of show up at these things. That so many people have already been doing so many different kinds of things. It's a lot of work to get rich.
Or shout out to John Sabine, the former Bulls outsider, who is also awesome in improv Shakespeare.
Really.
Yeah, and also ran the Velveeta Twitter account, which I didn't realize because there was a very strong stretch where Velveeta was going off about basketball. And I was like, man, whoever runs the Velveeta account does a really nice job with hoops knowledge. Come to find out it was Sabine. And
oh,
I know
great.
Him.
That's great. We got the Lawrence Holmes show.
That's a segment idea, by the way.
What, hidden talents?
No, Sabine specifically in the Velveeta account. It's a good deep dive. Entertain yourself. We have some time. Bulls play tonight.
That's right. But they pushed it back an hour. Ugh. Damn, because of COVID. Got to get an 8 o'clock tip. Ugh. Lawrence Holmes will join us next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.